If you love good music that stirs your soul, you've come to the right place. We call this place Respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. This is DJ Rick, bringing you just a little bit of my favorite soul, funk, and R&B music. I'm glad you can join me. This program is about Northern Soul. I'm not talking about the north of the United States, but the club music scene in the north of Great Britain. Northern Soul was described in a recent feature film as the most exciting underground British club movement of the 1970s. In its heyday, white working-class youth in the north of England traveled hundreds of miles across the region to dance to obscure black American soul records until the break of dawn. Northern Soul is based upon a fairly narrow slice of the full range of soul music. It really focuses on two main characteristics. First, it has to have the classic soul sounds of 1960s Motown music. Second, with rare exceptions, it has to be up-tempo. Take a listen to this popular classic from the Four Tops. That was I Can't Help Myself, Sugar Pie Honey Bunch, by the Four Tops from 1965. It was a huge hit, going to number one on the charts. The type of tempo and classic Motown instrumentation of the song, and others like it, set the template for Northern Soul. In 1965, the Tamla Motown Review came to England for a tour of 20 concerts. Prior to that time, it was quite difficult for the average Brit to hear the Motown sound, because the record shops didn't carry Motown, and also because it was not played on BBC radio. So-called pirate radio stations started popping up. These were unlicensed, illegal broadcasters who started pumping high-wattage broadcasts toward England from international waters. Radio Caroline was first in 1964, but by 1967 there were 10 pirate stations, and their playlists were often filled with Motown and soul music that had previously only been available by Radio Luxembourg and U.S. Armed Forces Radio. This sudden avalanche of great danceable music caused a gigantic surge of interest in Great Britain. Check this out. You just heard That's What I Want to Know from James Carr from 1966 or 67. It was the flip side of You've Got My Mind Messed Up and did not chart. James Carr was known for singing in the slower, deep soul style. At first, it was a surprise to find this up-tempo song sung in a northern soul style. It is included on the Complete Gold Wax Records singles. The birthplace of the northern soul scene was the industrial cities of North England. The city of Manchester was the second largest city in England at the end of World War II. The factories and mines and shipping industries all declined after the war with a rapid period of deindustrialization. Furthermore, there was a post-war baby boom, increasing the demand for jobs. Consequently, by 1965, the outlook for the youth of northern England was bleak. In the BBC documentary about the northern soul scene, one clubgoer said, "Life was so bloody boring, boring jobs, no likelihood of improvement due to the class structure." To escape from the boredom of dead-end jobs, the English youth movement was about to take off. That was It's the Beat by Major Lance from 1966. Major Lance was born in Mississippi, but he grew up in the Cabrini-Green housing projects in Chicago with Jerry Butler and Curtis Mayfield. He had some charting hits before 1965 on the OK Records label, but then lightning didn't strike again until he was discovered by the English DJs in Manchester. In 1963, three brothers, Jack, Philip, and Ivor Abadi, opened an R&B, blues, and soul club called The Twisted Wheel. Unlicensed to serve alcohol, the club had only snacks, coffee, and soft drinks, so the emphasis was on the music. One of the first local acts to appear live was the Spencer Davis Group, featuring the very young Stevie Winwood. A fan of R&B, named Roger Eagle, started a magazine covering the local music scene, and was soon hired as a DJ to play soul music at the Twisted Wheel. Roger Eagle had amassed a large collection of R&B and soul records. He brought them to play at all-nighters, dance parties which started around midnight. The scene quickly developed into a huge but largely underground culture in Manchester, with hundreds of dancers showing up every weekend. Because it was not licensed for the sale of alcohol, which would have required age limits and closing times, teenagers would come to the club to dance all night. The Twisted Wheel was considered a club for moderns or modernists, which was a youth movement rejecting the old ways of English culture, including the social life in the pubs. The mods preferred Coca-Cola and amphetamines to help them dance all night long. Here's another surprising song. This song is an amazing discovery. It's Al Green before he dropped the final E from the spelling of his last name, and before he started singing like the Al Green we all know. With his friends from high school, Curtis Rogers and Palmer Jones, became producers and his backup singers, and had a small hit in 1967 with a single called Backup Train. The song Don't Leave Me was the B-side of Backup Train. Don't Leave Me did not chart in the United States. Al Green went on to sign with High Records in Memphis in 1969. After that, he had a string of gold and platinum singles during the 1970s in the United States that has resulted in his receiving accolades such as the greatest of all soul singers. But it was the obscure and unsuccessful song Don't Leave Me that was a hit in the Northern Soul scene. By now, the tempo favored by Northern Soul was getting even faster as the recreational use of speed for all-night dancing went to ever greater levels.
We can have a tie that binds.
That was the song Soul Time by Shirley Ellis. The up-tempo stomping beat is classic Northern Soul. Shirley Ellis did not have a major career, recording only 3 albums and having only a few charting hits. The 3 biggest of them were novelty songs, including the goofy song The Name Game. You may remember it went like this. Shirley, Shirley, Bo Burley, Banana Fanna, Faux Furley, Me, My, Merley, Shirley. Shirley Ellis had limited chart success with Soul Time, topping out at number 67 on the charts. But according to the DJs at the Twisted Wheel Club, it was a call to the dance floor that could not be beat. The Twisted Wheel Club closed forever in early 1971 because the Manchester City Council refused to grant them an extension of their entertainment license due to persistent drug problems at the nightclub. The Northern Soul culture valued rare grooves. That is, the artists with little success on the charts were considered more authentic, and discovery of rare records was valued. Obscure record labels included Big Top, Bell, Mala, Amy, OK, Hotline, Elf, Audio Arts, Date, Chariot, Rick Tick, Golden World, Scope, Utopia, Uncle, Twirl, Tactful, Down to Earth, Lost Night, and many, many more. And many of these became incredibly valuable collectibles. Here is a rare groove special from 1967 on the Amy record label. You just heard Morris Chestnut with his song Too Darn Soulful. Morris Chestnut only recorded a few songs as a solo act on various small record labels. None of them had any chart success in the United States. But in the early 1970s, his song Too Darn Soulful became a smash hit in the soul nightclub scene in Northern England, particularly at the nightclub known as the Mecca in Blackpool. There is a book titled Too Darn Soulful, which covers the Northern Soul scene. After Morris Chestnut's rediscovery, he is still a valued live act in the clubs in Northern England. 10 of his extremely obscure songs are now available in various collections of Northern Soul. Northern Soul collector Chris King said, "The records we loved did nothing. The odd one crossed over, but most were commercial failures. Thank God that they did get it wrong. The music has given us so much pleasure over the last 30 years or so." Now let's take a bit of a detour. It should be remembered that in the 1960s, while American youth was fascinated by the British invasion by such bands as the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, and the Who, youth culture in Britain was just as eager to be invaded by music of black Americans. The influence of soul and Tamla Motown on English popular music was enormous. The Rolling Stones recorded Ain't Too Proud to Beg by The Temptations, You Better Move On by Arthur Alexander, Time Is On My Side by Irma Thomas, Going to a Go-Go by The Miracles, and That's How Strong My Love Is by Otis Redding. The Beatles' first album, Please Please Me, had four songs which were covers of songs first cut by soul artists, including Twist and Shout by the Isley Brothers, and their second album, with the Beatles, had three soul song covers, including one song co-written by Berry Gordy. The Who, the first album, My Generation, had two James Brown songs, and their first single, My Generation, had another James Brown song on the B-side. Pete Townsend, guitarist and songwriter for The Who, stated that his favorite artist was Booker T and the MGs, claiming that no music gives me as much pleasure as listening to Booker T. So let's go back to Memphis for a few minutes. That was Booker T and the MGs with their hit Green Onions from 1962. I can completely understand Pete Townsend's infatuation with that song. Even though The Who is correctly considered one of the best rock bands ever, they always thought their music was R&B. Quote, maximum R&B, unquote, was how The Who was billed for their first regular club gig, 22 consecutive Tuesdays at the Marquee Club in London in 1964. The Who's retrospective box set is called 30 Years of Maximum R&B. The Who, Motown, and the English mod culture are all intertwined. A current website called The Mod Generation states, the mods looked on soul music, and Motown in particular, not only as providing great sounds for the dance floor, but as a kind of backing track to their lives. The Who were mods, and their stage clothing and album covers demonstrate their mod fashion. The Who had an early and enduring hit in 1965 called My Generation, which Pete Townsend wrote on his 20th birthday. And according to Rolling Stone magazine, it was, quote, a battle cry for young mods, rebels all over England. The repeated stuttering delivery of the lyrics, my generation, is considered a nod to the often seen side effects of repeated heavy use of amphetamines. Also, The Who recorded two rock operas, with 1969's Tommy being the most popular. But the other one was called Quadrophenia, recorded in 1973. It's the story of Jimmy, a London mod. The liner notes for the double album have Jimmy stating that The Who were a mod group who played Tamla stuff and R&B. And the storyline involves riding Lambretta scooters and taking leapers, dancing, and fighting. In the song I've Had Enough, the character Jimmy sings, I've had enough of dance halls, I've had enough of pills, I've had enough of street fights, I've seen my share of kills. This is DJ Rick. You are listening to Respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, on the Voice of Vashon, 101.9 FM, KVSH LP, on Vashon Island, Washington, and streaming worldwide at voiceofvashon.org. The second dance hall in the trilogy of Northern Soul scenes was the Golden Torch. Opened in Stoke-on-Trent in 1965, it turned to playing Northern Soul music in 1967. The building was originally a church and then a roller skating rink. The club was designed for a maximum capacity of 500, but was always more crowded than that during the all-night dance parties. Now let's hear four in a row from the Torch playlist.
Just another fool, aching in heart, shaking inside, tearing apart. Baby, I'm cracking up over you, cracking up over you. Another fool,
ooh, ooh, baby,
hurting inside.
suitcases all packed with things. You're not going no place. Let me tell you something right here now.
You're my girl.
Everybody sing.
You're my girl. I don't wanna discuss it. There ain't no need to check. I don't wanna discuss it. Cause I know just where you're at. Now listen, baby. You're my girl.
Everybody sing.
You're my girl. And baby, that's that. Ooh, baby, that's that. Don't wanna talk about it. Cause I know what you're gonna say.
You may notice that Northern Soul songs are short in duration. The previous four songs were all less than 2 minutes and 20 seconds long. First, you heard Cracking Up Over You by Roy Hamilton, and then Earthquake by Bobby Lynn. Third was I Don't Want to Discuss It by Little Richard, and finally we listened to Too Late by Larry Wilson and Johnny Watson. The song Cracking Up Over You was written by Riley B. King, better known as B.B. King. The song was recorded and released by Roy Hamilton in 1966. But Roy Hamilton was most popular in the mid-1950s and early 1960s, where he had several major hits, including Ebb Tide and Unchained Melody, both of which were covered successfully by the Righteous Brothers. Cracking Up Over You did not chart in the United States. The second song in that set, Earthquake, by Bobby Lynn, was from 1967. It was released in the U.S. on the Tiny Elf label, but was re-released in the U.K. by the Stateside 45 label. I have never heard of Bobby Lynn before I bought this collection of songs popular at the Golden Torch, and I can find no reference to her either in the Definitive Guide to Soul or by searching her name on the internet. The third song, also from 1967, was I Don't Want to Discuss It by the very famous Little Richard, one of the original rock greats. Little Richard was very influential in the formative days of rock and roll in the 1950s, but in 1957 he entered the ministry and dropped out of recording secular music for several years. However, he toured Great Britain in the early 60s, where his shows were opened by such acts as Sam Cooke, the Beatles, and the Rolling Stones. So his recording of Don't Want to Discuss It was an attempt to regain his earlier fame. The fourth song, Too Late, was by Larry Williams and Johnny Watson, also from 1967. It never charted, but is considered one of the fastest and most revered Northern Soul albums of all time. Larry Williams was a longtime friend of Little Richard, and sometimes acted as his producer and musical director. The Beatles recorded three of Larry Williams' songs, but he lived a life filled with violence and drug addiction, and died under suspicious circumstances with a bullet to the head at age 44. His sometime partner Johnny Guitar Watson, known as the original Gangster of Love, had a much longer run, with a career that lasted 44 years. Starting in 1952, over the years he fashioned a stage style which was completely outrageous. Gold teeth, broad-brimmed hats, flashy colorful suits, and ostentatious jewelry. His pioneering use of guitar feedback on a Fender Stratocaster in 1954 influenced a whole generation of guitarists. He was idolized by Stevie Ray Vaughan and Bobby Womack. And his use of talk singing was an early influence on rap music. His music has been sampled by Redman, Ice Cube, Snoop Dogg, and Dr. Dre, and many others in the hip-hop world. The Seattle-based rock group Pearl Jam recorded a song about him in 2009. But let's go back to the Golden Torch playlist for one more.
Yes, it is.
That was Blowing Up My Mind by the Exciters. I can't find any information about when that song was released, but the Exciters have two items of note in their history. First, they had a number 4 hit in the U.S. for their first single, Tell Him, in 1962. That song was a hit again in 1989 for Kenny Loggins, and recently was recorded again by Bette Midler. And secondly, they were also the first group to record the song Doo Wah Diddy, later a massive international hit by Manfred Mann. The Golden Torch Nightclub also featured live soul acts, including the Drifters, the Stylistics, the Dramatics, the Chi-Lites, and Edwin Starr. It was always a financial and social success, was closed by the municipal authorities in 1973 due to continuing drug abuse problems and overcrowding. The closing of the Torch in 1973 created an opportunity for the third nightclub in the Northern Soul trilogy, the huge dance hall known as the Casino, in the depressed coal mining town of Wigan, England. By this time, the Northern Soul dancehall culture had evolved its own style in both fashion and the type of dancing. At the Wigan Casino, the guys wore vests or bowling shirts, hugely baggy pants with trench coats and military-style jackets. The gals wore long, loose dresses or flowing skirts that looked good when spinning. Vests with embroidered badges showing the names of nightclubs and all-nighters attended were popular, too. The Northern Soul dance style, which still exists in England, is unlike any other dancing I've seen, with extremely quick, fancy footwork mixed with martial art kicks, punches, knee drops, acrobatics, and tight spinning. Whether male or female, you dance only with yourself and to show off your moves. It is not partner dancing at all. You can see the Northern Soul style of dancing on YouTube. Unlike the bare concrete floor of the Twisted Wheel, or the somewhat nicer but smaller dance floor at the Golden Torch, the floor at the Wigan Casino was a properly sprung wooden floor, and it was huge, holding about 2,000 dancers. Lines 10 deep would form in early evenings for a midnight opening. The DJs played an endless stream of rare soul records. The heat and humidity from thousands of dancers made several changes of clothes a necessity. The use of speed by a majority of the dancers and the all-encompassing ambiance made for an unforgettable rush. The Wigan Casino was a membership club, and at its most popular had sold over 100,000 memberships. It was voted the best disco in the world by Billboard magazine, ahead of Studio 54 in New York during its heyday. Next up, a great song by the Detroit Emeralds, and after that, a bit of a surprise.
Too nice.
It's too nice
for a boy.
The first song in that set was Holding On by the Detroit Emeralds, who had about a dozen songs chart, either in the US or the UK, but Holding On was not one of them. The Detroit Emeralds were actually a family group from Little Rock, Arkansas, featuring brothers Ivory, Abram, Cleophas, and Raymond Tillman at first. The second song was A Little Love Affair by Patronelle Staton and the Casanovas from 1969. This rare record was rehearsed on Capitol Hill, recorded in Vancouver, BC, and released on the Sepia record label in Seattle. The singer, Patronelle Staton, has become a local favorite under her married name, Patronelle Wright, who founded the Total Experience Gospel Choir in 1973. Under her leadership, the Total Experience Gospel Choir has won numerous awards, has traveled to many countries, and has been featured many times on records and in movies. If you ever get the chance, you should definitely check out the Total Experience Gospel Choir. They are great. But back in 1969, Patronelle Staton had a small hit with I Let a Good Man Go. It played on local soul music radio station KYAC. The B-side of I Let Good Man Go was a tune she co-wrote called A Little Love Affair. Reportedly, there were only 250 copies produced. In 2000, 31 years later, a copy of the single made it to London and became a hit on the Northern Soul scene 31 years after its recording. Its rarity made it highly valuable, with prices soaring as high as $3,500 for the single. You can get it on a CD collection called Wheedle's Groove, Seattle's Finest in Funk and Soul, from Light in the Attic Records. Now for a really rare groove. You just heard Try Me for Your New Love by Junior McCants. The song was recorded for King Records in Cincinnati, Ohio, but only two or three promotional copies were pressed up. Soon after the recording date, Junior McCants died of cancer at the age of 24, so the record was never released. Somehow, in 2008, one copy showed up on eBay and was auctioned off for over $15,000, one of the highest prices ever paid for a single record. But it was a hit at the Northern Soul dance halls, including at Stafford's Top of the World. I found it on a CD compiled by A.D. Crosdell called King Northern Soul from Kent Records in London. The song was written by Charles Sperling, who also wrote and sang the next song. She Cried for a Minute is from 1967. Charles Sperling was a songwriter and later a head A&R guy for King Records under owner Sid Nathan. He wrote many songs, but his legend was established by two things. One, he won a fistfight with James Brown. And two, he discovered Catfish Collins and Bootsy Collins, who played on the track you just listened to, with Bootsy on bass and Catfish doing his thing on rhythm guitar. Later, they all three worked for James Brown. Jason Ankeny, writing in The Definitive Guide to Soul, describes the continuing Northern Soul tradition as follows. In essence, Northern Soul constitutes a British working class obsession with American working class music and the obvious national, racial, and even temporal differences between the clubgoers and the often obscure singers they idolize matter little. The hallmarks of the Northern Soul experience are immediately recognizable and have changed little over the decades. Massive crowds of sweaty, drug-fueled club kids of all ages, packing dance floors until the wee hours of the night, grinding and gyrating to the relentless backbeats and soaring vocals of an era long since past. In one form or another, Northern Soul has consistently endured since the mid to late 1960s, and its influence as the archetype of subsequent club-going subcultures cannot be overstated. The Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, said in 1968 that soul doesn't need to be defined because it's a feeling. This is DJ Rick, and you have been listening to Respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, on KVSH-FM. Thanks for listening. Find out what it means to me.